week, we looked at practical ways to increase the fruit of goodness in our life. We got down to kind of nitty-gritty and, okay, we talked about goodness and what it is and how goodness relates to salt. We've talked about all those things. And last week, we talked about really practical ways. If we really want to increase in the fruit of goodness, what do we do? Well, we talked about very practical ways to do that. And if you missed that, then you should be able to go to our website, to the podcast, and be able to catch that message again, because I can't go through it again tonight because I have to go on. Because tonight we need to look at kindness, and we need to look now, how do we seriously increase the fruit of kindness in our life? We need some practical ideas and helps to make that happen in our life. So that's what we're going to talk about. There's a quote by a poet by the name of Robert Burns. And his quote was that the kind heart most resembles God. And I think that is a very simple and yet very profound statement, that the kind heart most resembles God. Aren't you thankful that God has been kind to you? What a wonderful gift. He was kind to you before you ever loved him. And his kindness is amazing. And our kind heart, our kindness, our fruit of kindness reflects on him and who he is in our life. So we want to get right into this about kindness. And what we want to look at is five characteristics of kindness. Now, what we're really saying here is, what does it look like if I'm kind? You know, what does kindness look like? What should it look like in my life? So we're just going to be very practical here. And the first one is that kindness is going to look this way in our life. Kindness requires us to be sensitive. Now, don't check out on me, gentlemen. I know that sounds a little feminine here, but it's really not. Be sensitive. And, you know, all that really is talking about is that kind people are aware of others. They pay attention to other people. And they're aware of others around them and what's going on. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you, talking to us, the believers, says each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. You know, a lot of times we just get kind of carried away and kind of in the zone, and we're just focusing on our interest, period. We forget the last part of that verse, which says, but also the interest of others. So we're talking about being sensitive, and in that verse, I want you to circle the word look on your outline if you're using your outline. You could circle it in your Bible if you'd like. Philippians 2:4. Each of you should look, circle that, not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And here's the deal about kindness, and this is why I wanted you to circle that word. It's very important when we are wanting to increase in kindness. Kindness always starts with noticing other people's needs and hurts. And the only way you're going to notice other people's needs and hurts is to look. You got to look. You can't be so inward focused, you know, on our own selves and our own agendas and our own goals and plans and priorities that we forget to look. Because how can we see their needs or their hurts if we're not looking? So we need to look. That's a very important part of this. You know, it's obvious that many, many marriages, you know, they say now over 50% of marriages actually end in divorce. You know, it was 50% for a long time. Now I think it's like 51 or 52% end in divorce. And, you know, a lot of marriages get in trouble over time just because we become insensitive to each other's needs. We get so comfortable with each other that we just kind of blow it off and we become insensitive to each other. And, you know, everyone that you meet this week and any other time in your life, but I want you to think about this, everyone you meet this week needs kindness. There is not a single person that you're going to come across that does not need a little kindness. How do I know that? Because I'm a human being. And I know every single day I need kindness. And there is no one that is that different from the rest of us, you know? Because there's always going to be someone who's hurting somewhere. You know, a lot of times we come to church or we're in a group like this and we just think, well, we got it all together. You guys are great. You know, worship the Lord, praise the Lord. You say the right things. If we don't take time to look and to pay attention and to be sensitive to each other, we're going to assume that you don't have any needs or you don't have any hurts, because, see, we've gotten pretty good about keeping our mouth shut about things like that and not sharing things like that. We need to be aware. We need to be sensitive to not only within the body, but certainly everybody we meet, because every single person you come in contact with could use some kindness. No exception. The grouchiest, meanest person you're going to meet this week is the one who needs the most kindness. And most people aren't going to give it to them. They'll give them something else. So it's your job as followers of Jesus Christ, looking like him, to share a little kindness in those lives and on all the others too. So pay attention, be sensitive, and look this week. Kindness really does start by being sensitive to other people. I want to give you a Bible example of kindness, and it's in the life of King David. And we take this from 2 Samuel 9, just for your information. You can read it later. But what's going on here is that the former king, Saul, who tried to kill David and get rid of him, well, Saul was now dead. And Saul's son, whose name was Jonathan, had become David's best friend. But at this time, Jonathan also was now dead. So the former king is dead. His sons are dead. And now David has been crowned the new king of Israel. And one of the requests that he made shortly after he came to his throne was, he requested to know, is there anyone left alive in Saul's family? And he said, if there is, I want to meet them. And here's the deal. I want to show them kindness. I'm sure everybody thought when he requested this, he wants to kill them too. But he wanted to show them kindness. So he put this request out there. They went searching and they only found one survivor of the family. And that was Mephibosheth. And that was Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son. And when they found him, the Bible tells us that the boy had been crippled in both of his feet. So I'm sure he was like a reject. And, he was an invalid. And he was sent for, this boy. And I'm sure even in his mind, he was probably apprehensive about what might happen. Why in the world did the new King David want to see him, who came from the line of King Saul? And even as a young boy, I'm sure he wondered, being part of the enemy family, surely David must want to put me to death. But he was summoned and he was brought before the king. And I'm sure this young boy, along with everyone else who was in listening distance, was shocked by David's words. And they're actually in 2 Samuel 9:7. And he said this to the boy. He said, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will also eat at my table all the days of your life." These kind words was totally unexpected, I think, from everybody. I don't know who would have thought that would come out. But the point I want to bring out in this story, this event, is that David actively went about to find someone that he could be kind to. He sought them out to be kind to him. He sought them out, and the question on this, we're talking about, if you're a kind person, you're going to be sensitive to the needs of others. And my question to you this week and to me is, are you seeking out someone who needs some kindness? Are we going to seek out someone to be kind to? Don't just wait this week for them to walk across your path, but this week actually seek someone out to show them kindness. Be sensitive, because that is the way of the fruit of kindness. The second characteristic of a kind person is to be supportive. And, that just simply is talking about that kind people will build people up instead of tearing them down. And we can all relate to that idea. You know, the idea about being supportive, watch what you say this week. Be supportive in your words. Speak kind words. Proverbs 15:4, this is the good news translation. It says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Be supportive with your words. You know, nobody likes to be put down. Nobody likes it. We've all experienced it, I'm sure, and none of us like it. It's not a good feeling. You know, that old saying that we grew up with and that I don't know if children still say it or not, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Right. I bet almost every one of you can think to yourself right now, I remember words that were spoken to me and they still hurt me. And they may have been spoken years ago. Words do hurt. They are hurtful. And in fact, the Bible says, of course, that death and life is in the power of your words. What you speak can kill or it can bring life. And by being supportive, you can be supportive in the best way by your words and by the way you speak to people and what you say to people. So let's build up people this week even more so than ever with our words. Who can you build up this week just by speaking kind words to them? Who would that be? You know, give everyone that you meet an emotional lift. Let them be glad that they ran into you because they feel better because they spoke to you, because you encouraged them and spoke to them and supported them with kindness. You know, we need to ask ourselves these questions every now and then. I know we hear this, you know, every now and then, but it's good for us. It's good for us to have refresher courses in these things. It's good for me to have refresher courses in these things. We need this. You know, the question is, you know, how supportive are you speaking to others? Proverbs 10:32 says, righteous people know the kind thing to say, but the wicked are always saying things that hurt. If we are being hurtful with our words, we are putting ourselves in the category of the wicked. That's what that verse says to us. Now, that is the Good News translation also. You know, do we encourage or do we discourage with our words? We need to pay attention to that even more this week. Do we lift up people or do we tear them down by the things we say? Do you brag on your kids or instead do you constantly point out what they're doing wrong? Do you point out what they're doing wrong more than you brag on them? Then you're speaking death into them more than you're speaking life. And it's not just that situation. It's just in every situation. You know, I like this idea. I was reading after an author and he put it this way. Get this. If God gave you a dollar for every kind word you said, and he took away a dollar for every unkind word you said, would you be rich or poor? That's a question. You know, I thought about doing that tonight, giving y'all play money and seeing who ended up being the richest, but I thought, no, this could get out of control, so we didn't do that. Y'all would be jumping on each other. Y'all get ugly fast. That's what you do, I think. I don't know, but we're not. Let me give you a Bible example of being supportive. Joseph. He is a man who spoke kind words. He spoke supportive words. You know, if you're familiar with the story of Joseph, you know, everything seemed to go wrong during his first 30 years of life. You know, his brothers put him in a pit, sold him into slavery. He was falsely accused of adultery. He didn't even do it. And yet he was thrown in prison. And then people made promises to him and broke them. You know, it was just nothing went right. It seemed, for the first 30 years. But after that, the situation completely turned around. And what happened was Joseph actually rose in Egypt, and he became the second in command. So it was an amazing turnabout that God brought in his life. But when the famine covered the land, and Joseph's brothers had to come to Egypt and ask this person who was second in command, didn't know it was their brother, came and had to ask for food, Joseph had a golden opportunity to get even. He could have retaliated big time. But here's his words in Genesis 50, verse 20 through 21. It tells us and shows us how Joseph operated in the fruit of kindness. He said to his brothers, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Amazing. So that's a lesson we can take this week. Even when you have an opportunity to get even with someone this week, speak kindness. Try that one on this week. See how that goes for you. Another characteristic of a person who's operating in the fruit of kindness is to be sympathetic. You know, if you want to be kind, you need to learn to be sympathetic. And I think we're pretty familiar with that. But the deal is that people appreciate it, on the whole, when you sympathize with them. You know, when you grieve with them when they're grieving, when you hurt along with them and walk through it with them, they appreciate someone who will sympathize with them as they go through those things. And, you know, a lot of times when someone's going through a crisis, we get kind of, you know, antsy because it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. This is a situation. I don't know how to minister to this. I don't know what to do. How can I help? You know, and then we just don't because we feel so awkward. And I just want to encourage you, I'm sure many of you have already experienced this or know this for yourself. In those situations, a lot of times people don't even want to hear your words. They just want you to be there. They just want you to be there. Sometimes it's just someone to listen to them, or someone to just grab a hold of their hands, or someone to get them a tissue when they're crying. They just need to know someone's there. And a lot of times that's really all the case, and that's really all they need. And that in itself is what kindness looks like. That is an aspect of kindness. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." You know, kindness is really quite a mark of maturity. To be a mature Christian, the more mature we are, the more we will be operating in the fruit of kindness. It is a mark of maturity. When you see yourself or another Christian not being kind, the deal is they need to grow in that area, or I need to grow in that area. We've got some growing to do. We haven't quite matured maybe as fast as or as far as we think we have. But kindness is really a mark of maturity. When you see a person who operates in kindness, in a fairly regular basis, you can pretty much say they have grown some spiritually. They may not have arrived yet. None of us have, but they have certainly grown some spiritually. You know, going back to the marriage idea, you know, and I realize everybody in here isn't in this situation, but, you know, husbands, are you sympathizing with your wife's concerns? Or have we just been together so long that we just kind of, you know, wave them away? You know, but wives, you know, do you sympathize with your husband's challenges? Or do we just kind of hear it go in one ear and out the other, wah, 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 you know, type of thing? Yeah, I know. We can be guilty of things like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if your teenager comes home with a broken heart over some boy or some girl, it might not seem like a big deal to you because you know this is the first of probably many. And it's going to be a long road till you get to the final, and it's going to be good. So, you know, we get kind of callous on those things, and we think it's not a big deal. But you know what? Think about what it was like for you and realize it's a big deal to them. And learn to sympathize. That's part of kindness. You know, do you get excited over the things your kids get excited about and your grandkids get excited about? you know, we get to a certain age and we just say, I'm not doing that. That's silly. That's just too silly. It's not silly. It's kind. It's kind. It's just kind. It's sympathizing with them. It's connecting with them where they are. And it's not silly. It's kindness. And, of course, I think the best and the supreme example of kindness being sympathetic would be Jesus in the Gospels. You know, talks many times, but Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus for his friend. Jesus cried over the city of Jerusalem. Time and time again in the Gospels, we read how that Jesus was moved with compassion. He sympathized with people through kindness. He was not afraid to show emotion with people. Sometimes, you know, I don't know why we do that. I can be guilty of that too. You know, it's just like, that's just not what I do anymore. Well, what happened to us? You know, what happened to us that we think we can't get excited with our kids or excited with our grandkids anymore? Or what happened to us when we can't sympathize with our teenager when they're going through a rough spot because it's going to be okay and just blow it off? But that's not what they want. People appreciate someone who will sympathize with them, okay? You know, in Titus 3:4, Jesus was actually called the kindness and the love of God. That was what they said about Jesus in Titus 3:4. Jesus is the kindness and the love of God. So as we increase in kindness, it's obvious, of course, with all the fruits, but it's obvious that as we increase in the fruit of kindness, we are increasing in becoming more like Jesus, because Jesus certainly showed us kindness. All right, and here is the fifth characteristic of being a kind person. Now, you see, all the ones so far, you guys have been very patient because we used words like this: sensitive, support, sympathetic. Sound like kind of girly words? Well, here's you one. Kindness is straightforward. Getting into a little bit of a stronger word here with kindness. You know, sometimes kindness just really does need to tell the truth, and kindness just really does need to level with people, and kindness just really does need to be honest. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about kindness can also be straightforward and needs to be at times. Proverbs 27:6, now this is out of the Living Bible, but it reads like this: wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. And you know, that seems kind of an odd little thing, but really all it's saying to us, it's better for a friend to tell you the truth and to save you from a lot of trouble instead of them ignoring it and saying, oh, well, and just say, you're okay. Go ahead, do what you're doing. It's okay. Even if a friend has to tell you the truth, and even if it hurts for a few minutes, it's better that they told you the truth if it's for your good and if it will help you. Okay? And that's really what that scripture is talking about. You know, a real friend is going to level with you. They're going to say things, maybe not exactly these words, but when it needs to be said. They may need to say things to you or to me that, you know, like, you know what, you're blowing it. What you did just now, that was blowing it. I just need to tell you. You just kind of blew it right there. That's a friend. You know, a friend might need to tell you, you know, I'm just telling you right here, you're making the biggest mistake if you keep going this direction. Sometimes a friend needs to say that. Now, sometimes as we're talking, kindness needs to be straightforward. And it might hurt a little bit in order to help people in their walk with the Lord. But that's what it's talking about. A wound from a friend is better than someone telling you you're okay. You know, a Bible example of this, talking about being straightforward. There are several, but this is the one I pulled out. This is found in Acts 18:24 through 26. You can read that later, but it's talking about, we find a man here, his name is Apollos. And according to the scripture, he was a gifted speaker and mighty in the scriptures, the word says. And he came to the church of Ephesus, or to the city of Ephesus, and he began teaching the word to the believers. And Aquila and Priscilla heard him speaking to the believers one day. And they realized as he was teaching that it was good, but there had been new revelation and understanding of the things of God that Apollos had not heard yet. He hadn't heard it. You know, communication wasn't real quick in those days, so he hadn't heard it yet. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and explained to him, this is what the scripture says, explained to him the way of God more accurately. Took him aside and explained to him more accurately. You know, Aquila and Priscilla could have just left Apollos alone and could have just let him go on his merry way preaching the gospel, but only tell him part of it because he didn't know the rest. But instead, they cared enough about Apollos and about all the believers that he was teaching to take him aside and correct the situation. That was a friend. They were being friends. They chose the kind path of being straightforward with Apollos. Sometimes we have to take the path of being straightforward. Now, this opens up a whole new can of worms because, see, there's some of you that are out there that you are naturally confrontive people. And some of you aren't. You know, we all have that temperament going thing. And some of you, as I've been talking, you said, yeah, see, I knew I could say that. Uh-huh. See, I need to talk to that person right now. Well, let's pull this back before you go too far and let's take a little balance on this one. Before you confront somebody, before you take the stand and say, okay, they're my friend, I believe they're making a mistake according to the Word of God, I need to speak with them and straighten them out. First, you need to make sure, check yourself first. Check yourself first, okay? You always should ask yourself these two questions. They're on your outline so you can have them and remember them. Number one, why are you saying this to this person? Number one, are you committed to this person's best interest? Are you really telling them because you want the best for them? Or are you telling them because they're wrong and you're right? Are you telling them because you want to look superior spiritually? Or whatever reason. You need to check your motives of your heart before you decide to step in and speak straightforwardly to a friend. All right? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Trying to say it again. Okay. You need to ask yourself, am I doing this? Am I confronting this person because I really have their best interest at heart? That's the number one thing. If you cannot say honestly yes to that, then don't do it. Your motives are wrong, and it's not going to work out well. Second thing you should ask yourself, am I going to just make a hit-and-run comment, or do I plan to stick around and help my friend work out the change? See, am I just going to come up, or are you just going to come up to me and say, Sherry, you just talk way too much. You manipulate the conversation at our table. And it's just getting on everybody's nerve. And I'm just telling you, honey, I'm just telling you because you're my friend that I want you, I think this would be best for you to work on this and change it. Now, are you just going to slap me with that and then run off and not help me learn how to change? Because maybe I don't know how. Is it just a hit and run thing? Are you just trying to tell somebody what's wrong with them? And then you run off and say, well, I told them. I don't know why they didn't straighten up, but I told them. Did you help them? Kindness. We're talking about kindness. We're not talking about correcting people because you're right. We're talking about being straightforward with a friend because you're kind. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to make sure. I'm not giving you a license to go out there and hurt people just because you think you're right. You have no license to do that because you are to operate in the fruit of kindness. And the fruit of kindness is first going to say, am I doing this because I really love that person and I want to make sure they're not getting hurt or they don't go down the wrong path? And am I going to help them learn or grow in changing this? If you're not committed to doing that, then get your nose out of it because you're going to cause nothing but trouble for you and them. You're going to ruin friendships over that because you did not do it with the fruit of kindness involved, okay? We're talking about the fruit of kindness. So, the fruit of kindness will sometimes have to be straightforward, okay? I think we've covered that enough. I hope we have. So I'll make perfectly clear. Number six, sixth characteristic of a kind person. Be spontaneous. What am I saying there? You guys, don't wait to show your kindness. That's all I'm saying. Don't wait. Do it while you have a chance. Do it now. Don't plan it. Do it. Don't wait till everything is just right. Do it now. All right? Galatians 6:10, I love this, and you need to pay attention to this. I guess I love it because it's actually ministered to me as I've been studying it. Maybe it will to you. Therefore, as we have opportunity, circle that word opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I want you to pay attention to that word opportunity, because when should we be kind? Every chance we get. Every opportunity that presents itself. It says right there, as we have opportunity. I'll tell you a little silly thing. This was a couple weeks ago, but I had been working ahead on these notes, and I was vacuuming in the office. It was either early or late. I don't know. I was the only one here. And I was vacuuming in the office, and Pastor Mark's door was open. Nobody was in there. And I vacuumed the office. You know, it takes a little bit to, you know, I got it all done. And I look at Pastor Mark's office, and I'm thinking, you know, that probably could use a vacuuming too. And I started putting the vacuum up. I'm telling you. And this scripture came back to me. You have an opportunity to be kind. Take it. And I'm not saying that to tell you. I'm saying that to tell you that I'm learning, and the Holy Spirit is helping me and teaching me as we go too. But that's what I'm talking about. If you have an opportunity, take it now. Take it now. All right? It's an important thing. We've all had thoughts like send somebody a thank you card. You know, or I should call so-and-so. Or, you know what, I ought to take some food over to the neighbors or some cookies or something. But then what happens a lot of the time, if we're not watching, we put it off. And somehow or another, we keep putting it off. You know, we say, well, I'll write that note when I have time tonight, when it gets quiet in the house and I have a few minutes. And we don't do it that night either. So we put it off the next day and then the next day. And then what happens? By the time we think about it for a number of days and still haven't done it, we're kind of embarrassed to do it now. We kind of waited a little too long. We didn't hit while the iron was hot, type of thing, you know. And so we end up not doing it just because we've delayed it so much. And we've all been there. We've all done that. And yet, when it comes to kindness, y'all, pay attention to this. Good intentions do not count. It doesn't count. You can't say, well, I meant to operate in the fruit of kindness. Well, you can say that, but it's not going to count. Okay? Good intentions do not count when it comes to the fruit of kindness. It just does not count. And the opportunity may not last until you get around to it. You may not ever get that opportunity again. So do it that moment. Do it when the opportunity presents itself. When you have the slightest inclination to call your mother, pick up the phone and call your mother. You know, if when you have an idea to write a note or pray for someone or babysit for somebody or help around the house or wash the car or mow the lawn or whatever it might be, you just have a thought come across and it's like, do it. Just do you the kindness at every opportunity. And that's what this is talking about, being spontaneous, okay? And, of course, the classic example of this from the scripture would have to be the account of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan tells us the story about a man who was traveling, and he was traveling down the road, and he was beaten up and robbed, and they left him on the side of the road half dead. And he was there with no help, all alone. And the account tells us that a priest came along and looked at him. And who knows exactly what he said, but pretty much what he was thinking was, I don't want to get near that guy. I might get defiled, because he was a priest. And he didn't want to touch that. So then he walked on, and another religious leader came along, and later, and of course the story continues, that he walked right past the man who was injured and just went on. And then a Samaritan came by. A Samaritan was a person that the Jews considered to be an inferior race. This Samaritan came by. And the Samaritan took the opportunity immediately. He was spontaneously kind. He stopped and he bound up the man's wounds. He took the man to the nearest Holiday Inn. He left his MasterCard with the front desk. And he said, whatever you need, charge it to my MasterCard. And when I come back, we'll see if I owe you any more. And that was what the Good Samaritan did. He took the opportunity right then as it presented itself to him. And we can take something else from that story too. Guys, a lot of time kindness does cost. See, when you're spontaneous like that and you stop into it right that, see, our minds are already going to, I gotta. And it may cost. It may cost you some time. Sometimes it'll cost you some money, like it did the Samaritan. It may cost you. Kindness often will cost you something. It'll cost you a little extra time, the majority, and then whatever else may be involved. You know, but the Samaritan, he didn't think twice. He didn't even think twice. It was a Jewish man beaten on the side of the road. The Samaritan who knew he was supposedly an inferior race still immediately stopped, didn't think twice, and showed that poor man some kindness spontaneously. He absolutely did, you know. And when you contrast the Samaritan to the other two who walked by, you know, we should think about our own selves. You know, where do we come into that story? Typically, you know, how do we fall into that story? Which person would we typically look like? And, you know, I'm sure they had lots of excuses, just like we quite often have lots of excuses not to take the opportunity right then. All right, but you know, that whole story, Jesus told that story to remind us one thing. There is hurting people all around us. Remember the very first thing we said? Just look, look, look. You'll see them. There are people all around you who are hurting in one form or another, and a little kindness can go a long ways. And you have no idea how you might be hurting someone who their marriage, how helping someone who their marriage is hurting. Or maybe they're hurting at work. You know, maybe they're actually hurting physically, or maybe it's emotional. Maybe they're hurting spiritually. Who knows? You don't know what's going on in someone's life when you just see the outside. But you have to be spontaneous and let the Holy Spirit tell you and show you and look at people. Care about them. Just care about them. And be aware that they just might need a word of kindness to you. You know, and that story will also remind us, you know, what is my excuse for not being kind to people? And of course, we have different excuses at different times. But I'm believing this week that all of us will pay a little closer attention. And when we try to make an excuse, that the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit did to me the other day and said, you know what? Take the opportunity while you can. Go vacuum that carpet right now. Whatever it is, you know, that's the Holy Spirit teaching us. That's the Holy Spirit increasing us. That's what we're after. So let him do that. I know it might hurt a little bit to find out that we're doing things wrong and that we need to straighten up a little bit, but it's good for us, okay? And we'll grow and we'll mature. So kind people tonight, what we've decided and talked about is this. Kind people, they are sensitive, they are supportive, they are sympathetic, they oftentimes need to be straightforward, and they need to be spontaneous. And if we will work on these characteristics and getting them paying attention to them in our lives, then I promise you that our fruit of kindness will grow even more this week. It'll come up some notches. It just will. And a reminder to all of us that we are indeed the light of the world. We are indeed the salt. But we talked about how the kindness is like the light. Your kindness is a beacon out there in that world. It's going to bring light into someone's life this week that's very dark. And if you hadn't come along, they'd be lost in the darkness. They need you to shine that light of kindness all around.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.